May we be helped to commence our worship of God this evening by singing together hymn number 667. Hymn 667, to the tune Eventide 758. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. He is my refuge in each deep distress. The Lord my strength and glorious righteousness. Through floods and flames he leads me safely on, and daily makes his sovereign goodness known. Hymn 667, to the tune Eventide 758.
Amen. May we be helped to read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 49. The 49th chapter in the book of Isaiah. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have laboured in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, and neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinin. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together, and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste, and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction, shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they shall swallow, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me these? Seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These were, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Saviour, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Jacob. We leave the reading there, friends. May the dear Lord bless the reading of his holy word to us each, and help us in prayer. O thou most kind and most gracious Lord God, as we come into thy house once more at the evening hour, at the hour of the evening sacrifice, Lord, we do pray that we might be allowed, that we might be granted that sweet privilege of, dear Lord, coming in as those living sacrifices to present ourselves. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst help us each as we have gathered within these walls. May there be that volume of prayer coming up unto thee, that thou wilt hear and answer, and that thou wilt send down those answers of peace. We thank thee for the prayers in the vestry. May they be heard and answered on our behalf, Lord, and on the church's behalf. We do pray that it might be a good evening. We pray, Lord, that thy presence might be known and felt, that God might be made precious to us in the person of his dear Son. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us now as we gather once more around thy word. May it be more to us than our necessary food, and may it have that sweet effect upon our lives and hearts. And Lord, we do pray that it might truly change hearts and change lives. Oh, we do beg that it might go forth with power, divine power, from the courts of the Lord. That it might, dear Lord, thy dear Spirit might call and quicken and convict and convert many souls into life. Oh, may it be so, dear Lord, that we are amongst the living, and the dear angels, the dear Lord, what doest thou among the dead? Lord, we do pray that this might follow one and another as they go out into the earth. As, dear Lord, there are so many that have strayed, so many that have wandered. What doest thou among the dead? Oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bring to life many. Hear the prayers of the godly. Hear the prayers of godly parents and grandparents. We do pray that there might be a coming again to Zion. That there might be a coming again to the churches. Lord, we pray for it earnestly, that thy work might be known, even in our own hearts, where there are those barren times, where there are those times, dear Lord, where we really wonder, oh, can God dwell here? Oh, we pray that there might be a lifting up of thy countenance upon us, there might be that fruit, there might be that those showers of blessing sent down upon us. So, Lord, as we gather this evening around thy word, we pray that as the sun goes down, the Sun of Righteousness might arise in our hearts, in our midst, and shine forth with healing in his wings. Oh, we pray for it earnestly, Lord. We thank thee for bringing us safely hitherto, safely through another day in thy courts. And dear Lord, thou hast not failed one of thy people. Thou hast not failed one promise. All that thou hast spoken has come to pass. And Lord, up till now, and yet we believe that we can still commit. Oh, we can still bring our care. Oh, we can still lay them at Jesus' feet. We do pray for dear Ray here, the deacon. Lord, remember him and help him. We do pray that thou would strengthen him in those many things that have come upon him. Oh, we pray that thou would uphold him, dear Lord. May he be enabled to stand fast in the truth. And dear Lord, we do pray that he might often know thy presence here and his dear one, and those that gather from week to week, Sabbath by Sabbath, may they know the inshining of the blessed Spirit of God. And we do pray for Bernard at Leatherhead this evening, Lord. Bless and help him as he's been there this day, and his dear one. We do pray for them, that he might be used. Dear Lord, and may the precious love of Christ flow through him to others, and may there be a building up, and may he be strengthened in the work. Do bring them home in peace and safety, and all thy servants, wherever they are, many ministering now, we pray for them, dear Lord, that the word might be made precious through them, and that promise might be fulfilled: I will make a man more precious than fine gold, yea, than the golden wedge of Ophir. And so this evening, Lord, we pray that Christ might be precious to each one of us. Oh, we do beg for it. It would be the crown of the day, Lord, if thou dost appear for us. If thou dost touch our hearts and touch our lives with a token. We do pray for it. May there be those, Lord, that are willing to put thee on in this day in which we live. May there be those, dear Lord, to take up their cross and follow thee. May there be those, Lord, willing to walk in thy pathway, to walk in the ordinances, we do beg. And help us, Lord, help us to pray on, help us to plead with thee, and Lord, we do beg that thou wouldst be with any that are away this evening, any that are laid aside or unwell, any that are suffering pain, anxiety, whatever it might be, Lord. We pray that thou wouldst go to them and help them, and may they receive that comfort from on high. Lord, once more we do pray for our nation. We are living in sad days. We're living, dear Lord, in days of declension. And, oh, we pray that thou wouldst turn our government, turn the tide of iniquity. Lord, we do beg that those things that are right might be honoured and feared, and those things that are so wrong might be done away with. Lord, we pray earnestly for this, that we might once again be a God-fearing country. We pray for our King and his wife. Bless them and help them, and Lord, do quicken him into divine life. And oh, may he be useful in the path that thou hast placed him in, for thy honour and for thy glory, and his family. We do pray. May they not desecrate the Lord's day. And may they not take the country further away from thee. But may their lives be an example. We pray this earnestly, Lord, being in that high office that they are. What an example of Christians they could be. And so we do plead for it. Lord, we would remember all thy people to the ends of the earth. Wherever they are, in far off countries, in war torn countries, Lord, suffering so much at the hands of others, we pray for them. We pray for those who are on the streets, Lord, in these towns and villages and cities. We pray for them earnestly. If thy people are found there, Lord, that thou wouldst go to them and help them. Oh, we do pray then that thou wouldst help us this evening as we come to look into thy precious word, as we, dear Lord, once more commit ourselves to thee. We do pray that we might feel that upholding hand. We might feel the power of the glorious Spirit with us to bless. And may we, dear Lord, dip our foot in oil and be acceptable unto the brethren. We do pray for those from Holland that have turned in with us. Bless them and help them. And dear Lord, we do pray that there might be something for them to take home and to beat out. In all of these duties, dear Lord, may it be that we do it lovingly, to come and to plead with Thee, whether reading, praying, or worshipping at the singing. We pray, Lord, that it might be done with love, that we might be constrained to do it, and that duty might be turned into something that is so desirable. Oh, we pray, Lord, for it. We pray for those that have gone away, those that have left, those that are wandering. Dear Lord, bring them back. Bring them to themselves. May they see the error of their ways. May they be brought, dear Lord, like that prodigal was, to see how far from home he was. And oh, turn him around, turn them around, and bring them home again. Lord, to find the chapel doors open, to find the Bible still there, and to find the gospel in Christ. Oh, we pray then that thou wouldst help us each. May we look to thee now. Oh, and dear Lord, do bless the following generation and the generations of the little ones. We pray for them so that these walls one day shall resound again with the shouts of sovereign grace that the Lord has appeared for them. Go before us then, Lord, and help us. For thy dear name's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Robert Field, during the evening service, and has helped. There will be a read address during the prayer meeting and a read sermon during the morning service. Next Lord's Day is also the day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be held to continue our worship, singing together hymn 1070, hymn 1070, to the tune Stella 797. Thou friend of friendless sinners, hear and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. Take me, dear Saviour, as thy own, and with thy Father plead my cause. Be thou my portion, Lord, alone. O help me to obey thy laws, and with thy gracious presence bless. Give me to find thy promised rest. Hymn 1070, tune Stella 797.
May the dear Lord help me to say a few things from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 49 and from verse 11. I will make all my mountains a way. Isaiah chapter 49 from verse 11. I will make all my mountains a way. And the rest of the verse says, and my highways shall be exalted. Here the prophet tells us some wonderful promises. He tells us some wonderful words throughout this chapter, especially when you look at that. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Can she not have compassion on the son of her womb? These things, friends, are for each generation to enjoy the Lord as he speaks them to them. And we come to this text, I will make. Now, it's always surprised me what the Lord lets us make, what he has allowed man to make in all their sin, because we know that power belongs to God. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And only those that have power, it's come from God, whatever it is. And the Lord allowed them to make things. And firstly, poor man in his fallen state, what he wants to do is make idols of something. He wants to make something to worship. It's just inherent in the fallen being of man that they want to worship something. But if they do not know God, then they have to make something. And the Lord has allowed them to do that. But we see all the way through the scripture, he is working his work in his people, in his servants, in those who are obedient to him. In the Old Testament, it was to make altars. Whenever the Lord appeared for them, they made an altar to show where the blessing came from, to show who they loved and who they served. And so these altars were made all over the countries, all over the place. The moment Noah got off of the ark, what did he do? Celebrate himself? What did he do? Go and make a lovely house for himself? What did he do, friends? He went and built an altar to God who preserved them. He worshipped God. Now this is a great lesson for you and I. It's something that we should really be doing, worshipping God. Now I know we don't make altars, but although I hope and pray that you each have a family altar. There's so many houses without a family altar. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. No place for the Bible. And in some cases, friends, no Bible at all. Pray for them. Pray for them. That these Bibles will reach them. These Bibles will come into their possession. If they're the Lord's people, they will. So we don't build an altar, but we have an altar at home, don't we? Where we go and we kneel before it. A place where we know that we've been before and we pour out our hearts. This is it, isn't it, friends? A place to pour out our heart. And a place to worship him. A place to thank him for who he is. This is, you can see this, can't you? In so many things and aspects in the Word of God, where they desired with all their heart to serve him. Yes, there were hard times. Yes, there were difficult times. Yes, there were times when they wanted to give up. But did they? No. Why didn't they give up? Because they served a living God. You know, it's so easy to give up something that's dead, isn't it? But to give up something that's living. They say, don't they? The word says, while there's life, there's hope. Well, friends, all the time I believe this in my own heart, all the time Jesus is alive, there's hope. And we know he can't die. We know that he cannot end. We know that he's eternal. So there's hope. There's hope for the vilest sinner out of hell. Oh, there is, friends, and to feel it. To feel it, such a different thing to just read it or speak about it. To actually feel your heart taken up with the living God. And dear Isaiah, he was found here. We see him at times in the shadows, don't we? We see him at times in the darkness. We see him at times, friends, where he's so oppressed and low. But then we see other times. We see times of joy. We see times of rejoicing. And if you go right back to the first few chapters, what does he say? Mine eyes have seen the King in his beauty. Have your eyes seen the King in his beauty? If they have, friend, if your eyes of faith have seen the King in his beauty, you'll have a changed life. You will. You won't go back to your old ways. You will be changed forever if you see the King in his beauty. Well, the Lord, in his mercy, he allowed them to make the tabernacle. He allowed them to make the instruments of the tabernacle. This is such a great mercy, friends. He made poor mortal man, and then he allowed them to make a temple for him, with all the boards covered with gold, with all the candle and the table and the mercy seat and the ark. He allowed man to make it in his fallen state. He allowed them to touch holy things, but it was only the Levites. We know, don't we, that if anybody else touched it, he slew them. He slew them. And what a warning it is to us each to be careful the offices we take up in the church, to be careful of what we do. Because, friends, if you touch something that you shouldn't touch, God has no sympathy. They touched and they were slain. It's the Levites were the only ones that were to make everything to do with the temple because it resembled Christ. Now I want to come to this text. I will make all my mountains away. Now we can go to what man can make, but isn't it better? Isn't it more profitable to see what God has made? Isn't it, friends? Man rejoices at what they make. Do you rejoice over what God has made? Do you rejoice in your own heart for those things that he's made for you? I will make this glorious thing. You know, when I was a lad at the Dicker, I remember my old pastor, Mr. Tyler, saying, you don't ever put I first. You never put I first. You and I, it's always a little I. With God, it's always a capital. He always comes first. And here he says, I. And there's so much depth in that, just like one little letter. There's eternity there. I, the glorious I am, from beginning to end, from eternity to eternity. And if you have this I in your life, you're a happy soul. If this is the one that is commanding you and commending you and helping you and upholding you and maintaining you, you're a happy soul, friends. Yes, there'll be times when you walk through deep things. There'll be times when you don't know how to walk. But if you have I, and if you read through Isaiah, he puts so much with it, friends. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the flood. Take the I off. What good is the text? Take it off, friends. What good is it? Put it on and you've got heaven. You put that first letter on, friends, and you've got everything you need because the Lord is in it. And so Isaiah says, the Lord says through Isaiah, always remember that this is not the man's word. This is not man's word. Sometimes we would like it to be. Sometimes we think we could rest on man's word, but you never will. And I believe some of us have tried it. And we've proved that little I no good at all. So we're here, we have something that the Lord says, and he speaks it from eternity. He says, Isaiah, tell them. Tell them. Every one of my people, tell them. I will make all my mountains away. You know, this is such a precious word to me and my wife. I'll just say this personally, friends. Just before we were baptised, we went down for one more service. Down to Uckfield at the hall. Just one more service and then give it up. Do you come there? Do you really come there, friends? Speak once more, Lord, or there's nothing in it. And dear Gilbert Hyde, he preached from this word, I will make all my mountains away. And do you know what, friends? He preached me and my wife to the top of the baptismal pool in the service. It was just like that. It was a baptismal service for her and I. And we went straight from the little hall in Uckfield, we went straight round to Mr. Tyler's house and we gave our testimonies. Now that's power in the word, friends. I'm not speaking about myself, I'm speaking about the dear Redeemer. Because he told us, and he told me personally, I will make all my mountains away. And I had some mountains. One of them was the biggest mountain that as a young man that I knew, and that was Mr. Tyler himself. I say it personally, friends, it was the biggest mountain in my life. And it wasn't to be overcome by me, but God. Oh, but God. My dear Saviour. Why the man, I will tell you, friends, he was like a little boy sitting on the sofa, listening. Beautiful. The power of the word in the soul is so wonderful. So the Lord says, doesn't he, I will make all my mountains, all of them, all of them. Now, what about your mountains this evening? What mountains have you got, friends? And the more you look at them, oh, we're such sinners. The more and more we look at them, the higher and higher they get, don't they? And the darker and darker they get. And the closer and closer we get to them, the smaller and smaller we get. Don't we? Is that the way to look at your mountain? Is that the way to approach your mountain? Why do we, friends, keep looking at the mountain and not looking to God? Why are we so consumed by the size and the hardness of a mountain and not look to God? You know, many times in the scripture, when we look at a mountain, God doesn't appear at the bottom. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? He always appears on top of the mountain. Whether it be Mount Moriah, whether it be Mount Horeb, all those, the Sinai, all those mountains, he appears at the top. Why? To show that the mountain is beneath his feet. He has overcome all the mountains, everywhere. I like that. I read it one day. I know I've read it before, but it so opened my eyes with Noah. And he, as the water rose, I know it was a condemnation to the world, as the water rose, so the earth disappeared. And the ark sailed on the top of the water. And it says this, the mountains were beneath the water. Haven't you rejoiced, friends? That was a condemnation for the world, that the mountains should be covered. But what about your mountains and my mountains? What's water? What's the ocean compared with the eternal love of God? What is it, friends? Your mountain's covered. Can't be seen. Noah didn't see a mountain all the time he was on the sea. All the time he was sailing in the ark, he never saw a mountain. They were all covered. The love of God covered them. The eternal love of God makes mountains disappear completely. But you and I still have our mountains. You and I still have those things, don't we, that come sometimes daily. You know, what is a mountain? It's a high place. And sometimes the Lord takes his people up into high places to bless them. When he, in the Mount of the Transfiguration, he didn't transfigure himself down in the valley. He could have done, but he didn't. He didn't. That valley of trouble and that valley of sorrow, he didn't do it there. Where did he do it? He took them aside. And he went up into the mountain. He went nearer heaven. And this is it, friends. For you and I, those steps toward heaven. And then he was transfigured before them. Oh, the blessing that they received in the Mount. They never forgot it. Peter says, doesn't he, when he wrote his epistles, he said, at the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw him as he was, as he is. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? They saw him as he is. He would be no different when they died and went to glory. They would still see that same person as he is. Now, I will make all my mountains away. Now, there's so many mountains in a child of God's heart. There's so many mountains in a child of God's life. And sometimes, it's people. You know, we fear man. We fear each other. We do. And yet the Lord so tenderly says, the fear of man is a snare. He says, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. How can a man be a mountain who's going to die? And yet, our poor frail flesh. And doesn't it show you how frail we really are when you come across these things, and how unbelieving we are, and how faithless we are when a man becomes a mountain? Should never be. Should never be in a Christian's life that another one should be a mountain, and yet they do. Because the Lord is showing us the frailty of their flesh. He's showing us just what we are. And who we are. You say, oh, I'd never be scared of anybody. Be careful. Be careful. If the Lord were to put Satan into somebody and come against you, friends, you would be frightened. If the Lord permitted one to come against you, you would be frightened. But the Lord says, I will make these mountains of yours away. But there are mountains in our families. Personal mountains. There are mountains that surround us at times. Just like little Jerusalem. The Lord loved Jerusalem. He said, oh, that I could gather you. But he said, you would not. He wanted to gather all of Jerusalem under his wing. But he said, they would not. But all the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem, the Lord made a way. You know, I read this, it just comes to me. I read it of these poor Christians that were waiting, and they were surrounded in the valley somewhere. And they waited on God. It's the best place to do it, isn't it? Wait on God, friends. You say, I am. Keep waiting. Has he denied you? Has he said he won't come? Has he said it's no good waiting? Wait on him. And keep waiting, friends. They waited and waited and waited, and one day the sun seemed to shine brighter. They looked to the mountain, and over top of the mountain were coming the help that they so desired. And why the sun looked brighter was because of all the shields and the swords that were drawn, that were reflecting the sun. Help was on its way. And it reminds me of a dear prophet when he was in the mount. And the servant said, how shall we do, Lord? How shall we do to his servant, didn't he? How shall we do to the dear old prophet? I will make all my mountains away. Look at the dear old man. Have you ever prayed it for one of your children? Have you ever prayed it for each other? Open the young man's eyes. Open them. A simple prayer, one of the simplest prayers you could pray to God. But what a profound answer. What a profound answer, friends. Open the young man's eyes. So the Lord did. What did the man see? The Lord made a way. The Lord making a way through the mountains. He saw the whole mountain surrounded with angels and chariots. Instead of saying, well, we don't hear any more from that young servant, do we? He doesn't go back and say, I can see what you can see now. He was so overwhelmed with the blessing of the Lord that he saw, that he didn't need to say anything. The old prophet knew. The Lord had opened his eyes. I will make all my mountains. Now, what have you come with this evening? Rebellion? Is it a mountain to you? Sin? Is it amounting to you? A hard heart? Is it amounting to you? Cloth ears? Hard of hearing? That's a mountain. I work with a deaf lady. All she wants to do is hear a bird sing. That's all she wants to do. All she wants to do, it so touches me, friend. All she wants to do is hear the waves lapping on the shore. She said, I've never heard it. I'd like to hear it. How have you come this evening, friends? Deaf? Have you? Is it a mountain to you? Do you long to hear the Saviour's voice? Do you long for him to penetrate the darkness in your heart? Do you long to hear that soft, still voice speaking to you, friends? There's so many ways we could look at this, aren't there? I will make all my mountains away. And we need him because we've got those mountains. We've got them in front of us. You know, you look back. How many mountains have you come over? How did you get over them? How did you? How did you get through? You thought it was going to crush you, didn't you? You did. I know you did. Because I thought the same. When I come that way that you went, I thought it was going to crush me. It didn't, did it? Didn't crush you? Then you faced another one, didn't you? You read poor old Pilgrim, when he come to the mountain, it overpowered him. He thought it's going to crush me. It's going to swallow me up. So the mountains of our sin are the same when they overshadow us, when they stare at us, and we can't find help, we can't find any hope, all we can find is despair in our hearts, then you'll treasure this word. You will, friends. This would be a precious word to you if you're ever found here, because the Lord speaks to us personally. He speaks to us individually. It's not a collective thing. Yes, there are churches where we need this. There are problems in churches where we need this. There are many where it's a group thing. But friend, when it comes right down to you and I personally, I will make all... What? What does he say? How close is he to you? Are you in union with him? Is he a companion to you? You've just sung that he's a friend. When did you just last hear from him? When did he last contact you? When did he last speak to you? When did you last feel love to him? He's a friend, you said. I heard you singing. Well, a friend keeps in communion with a friend. It says here, and this is from friend to friend, I will make all. My mountains. There's a friend for you in Jesus. There's a friend that's better than a brother. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that will take your load. There's a friend that you can rely upon. There's a friend that loves you forever and ever. He says, I will take all my mountains away. They're not yours. When did you last think your mountain was yours? I'll tell you when you thought it, friend, when you were in ignorance. When your poor heart was, hardened to him. Oh, the day, the glorious day. The beautiful day. When Jesus released us. The beautiful day when Jesus said, I will make all my mountains away. My mountains became his. Every problem, every sin, everything that was mine that was bearing me down, that was crushing me. He whispered, they're mine. He whispers it to every child of God, they're mine. They're not yours. Why are you trying to carry them? Why are you labouring under them? Why are you trying to set something right? Why are you trying to put something straight that you can't put straight? Why are you trying to pay for something that you can't pay for? Don't we try and pay for something? Don't we? You know, in our early days, oh, how we tried to be better and tried to pay for sin, didn't we? We thought we could do it. We thought if we could just get a bit better for him, he would accept us. Couldn't pay the bill. Couldn't pay the bill, friends. It got more and more and more and more. Couldn't pay it. You know, it reminds me of when I was a little boy. These thoughts come back to me when money wasn't very... Well, it was very scarce in my young day. And when you went to the shop and you had a trolley load of food, you had a certain amount of money. It got to the till, and I can see my mum now, and I can see other ladies doing it. They kept asking how much it was. And when they got to how much they could pay, they said, you better put the rest back. I can't pay for it all. That's what you and I do to God. We do, we bring everything to him and say, well, I paid for that much. I can't pay for the rest. If you can't pay for one thing, friends, you can't pay for any of it. He paid it all. He paid it all. The bill's clean. The debt's gone. He paid it. I'm not saying it lightly or glibly. I'm saying it because he makes a way. All these mountains, and one of the mountains is the debt of our sin. The cost of it. The cost of you and me. Well, the cost, we know what it is if we know anything of our scripture, but just to refresh us, the cost to pay for you, to pay for me, if we're his people, to be in heaven with him forever, not a few days, not a billion years, but ever and ever, the cost was his own blood. It was his own blood, not another's. God demanded blood for the payment of sin forever. God demanded it, and God provided it. Now, where do you stand? Where do I stand? We each stand on the threshold of a never-ending eternity. Have you been paid for? Have you been brought? The Lord says through the apostle, he says that ye are brought with a price. You're brought with a price, friends. God's blood in the person of Jesus Christ. There's a mountain be made a way. A way through for the poor sinner. There's many ways that the Lord makes for his people. Many ways he opens them up. You know, we were out for a walk back a few months ago, and we couldn't see the way through the hedge. We kept walking. It wasn't till we got right there that we could see the way had been already made. The way was made. We didn't have to make a way through the hedge. We didn't have to climb over the hedge. Someone had already gone before us and made the way, and there was a path right across the field. Now, is it not like that in the Gospels? The Lord opens your eyes. You and I haven't got to make a way. He says he brings us to the pathway. He says he brings us to these ways. I've made it already for you. I've made it for you. You don't have to keep trying to make it. I will make. You know, there's so many ways the Lord makes all my mountains away, isn't there? And oh, how we plead with him when these mountains come, one by one, don't they? Isn't it wonderful that he doesn't send them all at once? Do you know, if he sent every mountain that you and I have got to endure, we wouldn't be able to cope with it. That's because he sympathises. He sympathises. He knows what we are able to take. And he gives us these, it says mountains, so you're going to have another one. You're going to have another one, friends. You might have thought, well, I've got over them all now. Plain sailing. There's no more mountains. You know, when you go to Scotland and you come out of Scotland, or you go to Switzerland or wherever, the Himalayas, wherever it is, there's a place where you come out of them and you think there's no more. Oh, there's more in the gospel. More mountains to endure, and more things to go through, more things to go over. Take this with you. Take this with you. Plead it with him. Every time a mountain comes, say, Lord, thou didst say it's thy mountain, not mine. You know, we've been to places where The road has been cut out. I expect you have. Where the road has been cut, the road has been cut through right through the mountain for miles. So for a long way you're in the dark, apart from lighting, because you're going through like a tunnel in the mountain. It took years. It took years, friends. Absolutely years for men to dig through there with all the right machinery. And God says, I'll do it in a moment for my children. That mountain that you and I have to pass through, he says, I'll do it. I'll do it. If you rely on man, expect to fail. If you rely on God, expect to triumph, because you will. I don't say that fatalistically, friends. Faith believes it, and it triumphs in God. It makes a way. And like I was saying, if you look back, has he made a way for you before? Has he closed up your way now? Does it feel like he's closed the door? He's closed the door on you, hasn't he? And you really feel down, and will he ever open it again? I can't see anywhere, even in the margin here, that it says, this is for once, this is for twice. It's to be pleaded by every generation. It's to be pleaded throughout our lives, each one of us. And the Lord will continually do it. He will continue. He's promised. He cannot break a promise. He cannot break a promise. These promises are yea and amen in Christ. They are signed with the precious blood of the Redeemer. Nothing can break. Nothing. He cannot retract it. It cannot come to naught. I will make all my mountains. Isn't it a lovely thought, friends, if you and I are embraced by these things? But if you look at the dear Lord Jesus, his dear life, what did he face? What did he face? If we stop the earth now, the amount of sin that he had to pay for in the mountain. If you continue the earth until the end, how much more sin? You start to realise then, past, present and future, he paid for it. How did he know how much it would be? How did he know, friends, the volume of sin? Because he knows us. He knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows exactly the catalogue of sins that we will commit from birth to death. And the heavens weighed it up. And they said, this is the cost. And he made a way through it. He made a way. But there was no one there to help him. Nobody. Absolutely nobody was there to help him. His father turned his back on him because of you. And I hope because of me. Because of what we've done, he turned his back on him. So there was nobody to make a way. And so what did he do? He made a way for himself. He made a way whereby he could go back to God, and he turns to the church and he says, follow me. Now if you're not in that way, friends, if you're not following the way he went, you're not on the way. You're not on the way. That's why he says, follow me. I've made the way. I've made it. Nobody else. There was nobody worthy of making the way but Jesus. So he says, follow me in the way that I go. Because I will make all my mountains. And so he's made the mountains a way, but also he will make them a way. You know, when you get up into the mountains, it's quite a lonely place, isn't it? If you go, even a couple of you, or a few of you, it's quite a lonely place getting up through the mountains. Think how lonely Jesus was. As he trudged the mountains, he saw the mountains. They came over him. But he came out. He came out, friends. The view he had from the top of the mountain. Glory, glory, glory. He saw it. He saw it. It helped him to endure. It helped him to go on. We know that he died. We know that he was buried. We know that he rose again. Oh, the triumphant day of his resurrection, the power of it. If you've ever felt it in your hearts, friends, the power of the resurrection of Christ to lift you out of something, to lift you right out of it. It doesn't just lift you halfway out of it. It lifts you right completely out of it, as though you were never in it. Never in it at all. Because he came up out of the grave, he didn't leave his feet in there. He came out, friends, right out. I couldn't understand that. I could not understand that. How the resurrection power of Christ could help anybody. I didn't understand it. I do now. I do now, friends. Having tasted and felt a little bit of that resurrection power in my own heart, I know it can bring a sinner from darkness, absolute pitch blackness, into light, because I will make my mountains away. Those mountains that stood out in front of him, he made a way for each one of his people to get back to him, to glory. But there are those things that you and I walk through, aren't there? There are those things that you and I come up against. And in this, I think of dear David as he went to the Philistines and he went to his brothers. They didn't realise, did they? There was a giant in their way. And perhaps a giant's in your way. Perhaps you have a giant in your way, do you? You don't know what to do with it. Well, the whole of Israel didn't know what to do with the giant. That's how backward they were. That's how unbelieving they were. We can't throw a stone, can we? Even Saul was trembling in his tent. Would you let a little boy go against a giant when you're supposed to be? Israel, the chosen of God. And there's a little boy turns up. There's a giant in the way. We can't move. We can't do anything. Aren't we poor? Aren't we feeble, friends? Aren't we? I will make all my mountains away. Oh, David knew, didn't he, in his own heart, how the Lord had helped him before and he would help him again. How the Lord had moved the mountains before and he would move them again. Doesn't it do you good? Doesn't it, friend, to read some of these scriptures? Doesn't it really help your heart at times? He didn't need a great army. He didn't need anything but his little sling and a little pebble. That's all he knew. That's all he'd ever fought with. But there was something else he needed. Something else he went with. And it wasn't seen. And that's the presence of God. The presence of God with David. David was a good shot, but he wasn't that good. He wasn't that good, friends. God aimed the stone. God took the stone out of David's sling and he put it in the forehead of the giant. Why? I will make all my mountains away. We ascribe nothing to David. Nothing. Absolutely no glory to David. But we do ascribe it to God. We do, don't we? David only had strength in his legs and arms because God gave it to him. Otherwise you'd have had nothing. Remember the little pebble, friends, when you come against something in the future. Remember the little pebble and God. And he made a way for the whole of Israel. He made a way through the mountain. Wonderful thing that the Lord allows his people to understand this. Because oftentimes we come across things, don't we, and we give up. We think, well, nothing will ever move it. Nothing will change it. Nothing will sort it out. And the old devil will say, yeah, this is it now. This is it. This mount, this one's too big for you, and it's too big for your God too. And he'll never do anything with it for you. And he's forgotten you anyway. He's forgotten you. He's forsaken you. Because of what you are. Because of who you are. Because of how you think. But I do love the way the Holy Spirit has put this in this, don't you? Do you ever look at the way the Holy Spirit's written this in the scriptures? He put, I will make the mountain away first. And then he says, I will not forsake thee. I won't forsake thee. Because he knew. Well, I'll leave it with you, friends. It's a lovely verse, isn't it? It's not just lovely in the Bible. It's a lovely verse for you and I to take with us. Into the workplace. Into places where you know you've got to go. Into appointments. Into those many things that you and I have to walk through and trudge through sometimes. The Lord is telling you, he's really telling all of his people, that whatever mountain comes in your way, I'll make a way through it. I'll make a way through it. There won't be any mountain that ever stands in front of you that you won't find a way. Why? Why? Because he's already gone before us. He doesn't make a way our mountains as they come along, friends. He's already made a way. All you're doing is following him. That's all you're doing. Just following the dear Redeemer. You might think it's a mountain, but to him it's a way through. That lovely. It's really lovely, isn't it, friends? Our Jesus has gone before us. And from time to time, he'll let you see him. He'll just let you see him a little bit. And what does it do? It helps you go on. Because you want to see more of him. And it just reminds me, just as I leave it, dear Moses, he said, show me thy glory, Lord. Have you ever asked the Lord to show me thy glory? I seem to be so dark and dull in my eyesight. Show me thy glory that I might praise thee. And the Lord said, I shall pass by thee. All my goodness shall pass by thee. And then he said, I shall put thee in a cleft of the rock. Thou shalt see my back parts only. What did he mean to Moses? Moses, you're not going to be in front of me. You're going to be behind me. You're going to be behind me all the way. You're not going in front. Nobody goes in front of the Lord. You go behind me. You see my back parts only. And if you're a favoured soul and you see his back parts, friends, there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Do you know when my dad died, we found his hymn book and he had marked out a little line in the hymn book and it was this. They shall never, never sin. And then the line said this, but they shall see his face. The generations before us have only seen the back parts because they've never been in front of the Lord. But there's a day coming when you and I, just like them now, will see the front parts. We'll see his face. That's what it was, that hymn. We'll see his face and never, never sin. It's wonderful that he makes these mountains away. May he do it for you. Today, tomorrow, in the future, may he continually do it. But friend, when he does, don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to thank him. May the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 1075. Hymn 1075. To the tune Euphony 786. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Lord, draw my heart from earth away, and make it only know thy call. Speak to my inmost soul, and say I am thy Saviour, God, thy all. O dwell in me, fill all my soul, and all my powers by thine control. Hymn 1075, Tune Euphony 786.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, we do so thank Thee for Thy help. We thank Thee that that promise is still alive. We thank Thee, dear Lord, for Thy many mercies. But Lord, there's still so much we need to ask Thee. And so do have mercy upon us each. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Bless this corner of Thy vineyard, we do pray. And in Thy time and way, build it up, Lord, with souls saved by grace. And now we do pray that as we part from one another, that the grace of our dear Lord Jesus and the love of God and the sweet fellowship and communion of Thy Holy Spirit might rest and remain with us now and forever. Amen.